CliffCentral.com.
Little Billie Eilish. It's Wednesday, the 3rd of June, CliffCentral.com. I am joined by Sia Sangweni and by Gord Laws and by Mbulelo Tinta and you this morning. So, it's a good crew.
Happy!
Yes.
We're cheering up Gareth because he had a shitty day yesterday. And so we're putting a bit of pep back in Gareth's step. Send your positive thoughts, positive messages, love and adoration to the usual phone number.
Hashtag thoughts and prayers.
Hashtag thoughts and prayers. Hashtag all happy Wednesday. Hashtag smiley face Wednesday. We'll take over the internet with smiley faces. I will say, I thought that Instagram blackout thing was very cool. Like, I know, like, you, Gareth, were like unable to do your iTunes thing. And since you're not American, you thought that they should have probably geo-targeted that.
I'm not going to go into a long explanation about this, but
I just thought it looked cool. That's the point that I'm trying to get the political stuff aside.
It's a terrific, as online campaigns go, it was a really good one. And I get the purpose of it, and I'm totally with the sentiment, all right? Mm. Make that very clear. But because if you get misinterpreted on something like this, you are othered very quickly.
Yeah, I know. I always try and be very careful of that kind of thing.
I know some fucking stupid people who've never thought about anything to do with racial identity, they don't know where Minneapolis or St. Paul are. If you gave them a million chances to get it right, they wouldn't get it right. They are Instagram models who are used to getting their assholes on camera. And these people were posting this blackout thing yesterday like they're suddenly Steve Biko. And that drives me insane because I know people who have spent their life reading about race in America, politics and race, the law enforcement and race relationship in America, and these people have a justifiable reason to get involved in conversations around this. There are people who genuinely do not know the first reason why everyone else is doing this and just did it because they felt they needed to join in the conversation.
Oh, it's such a tricky one.
It's your thing, Gord, that you've brought out so many times about.
Don't forget about me.
Me also. I'm also. Yeah. Like,
don't forget about
Black
me.
Lives also matter to me.
I know a lot's going on, guys, and there's a lot of things going on in America and riots and stuff, and it's all very serious, but please don't let that distract your attention away from me. Don't forget I'm also part of this fun game of being upset about politics. So, look, there's that, and I agree with that. I often evoke that, but at the same time, you know, I was talking to my bestie Gumpy about it yesterday, and we're both pretty, like, I don't know, stoic, a little bit cynical, and, like, fuck, people are idiots and fuck them. Yeah. But he did point out, like, this is your way of saying, yes, I agree, all of this shit's bullshit. Whether you've heard one or two of the stories via the news over the years and you're saying, yes, it sounds like a lot of young black people and you know, black people of all ages, but especially young male black people get the shit beaten out of them and or killed in the States. I'm not okay with that. It's a quick way of saying, look, I agree, this is some bullshit. So I'm normally loathe to get involved in these, but I do.
I did not get involved.
I did because I was like, look, I do agree with this cause. I do agree with this message. I am against racism. I am fed up, even as a South African who doesn't live in America, of hearing about this shit from the States all the time. So, but I also just didn't want to kind of let the team down in terms of how cool my Instagram was looking. The first time I saw it, I thought it wasn't working. I had like four pictures that thought they weren't loading. So I kind of committed the crime that I often begrudge, which is like, I was like, hey, I'm also in. But yeah, it's when people, it's not so much participating once by doing the thing. If there's some relevance of the message to you, like if you've never seen or heard of a black person and you're from another planet, then, you know, don't get involved. But like, it's those people that champion it and take it on as their identity and don't stop about it and attack other people because of their incorrect views on it. That's when, like, get a life that's outside of the computer, you know?
Do you know what? For me, if it sounds like I'm against the cause, oh well. But it is not about the online conversation, because I think online platforms have helped, you know, certain videos get shared, certain stories to come to light. What I didn't like about this whole blackout thing yesterday was I think certain people doing that feel like, okay, that's it, I'm done for the day.
Yeah,
whereas there was still some, you know, you could have signed petitions or you could have read up more about something. There's still other means and ways in which you could have made a difference. But yeah. I think it's the lowest in form of entry to go, yeah, I've done something. Meanwhile, we haven't even, I doubt we will get to a point where the powers that be go, well, did you see Instagram? Did you see how many people?
I think in the States they actually will take notice. You know, a whole social media outlet shut itself down. Look, I agree with you and I disagree with you. Like, I'm guilty of the same position and kind of not allowing people to be involved and trying to be a gatekeeper of who can and can't enjoy what. I agree with you in principle. Like, people who get on board with causes, either massively disproportionate to how it affects them and their own involvement, like being a white South African, I've got white South African friends who are not just interested, but their life revolves around, LGBT and American gun rights and left versus right in America. And they couldn't tell you who their ward councillor for where they live in Johannesburg is. They can't name four ANC members, but they are like, will fight each other and you to the death about your position on Bernie Sanders. So, but at the same time, you've got to let people be involved.
You can absolutely choose your cause. You go ahead and do it. But I don't like the idea of everyone being strong-armed to have to participate, especially, like, what's the point of having the support of dumb people, like Instagram models?
I just think it's a balance.
I'm with Sia. I'm with Sia on the fact that a lot of these people also, like, this is their way of cleansing themselves of any kind
of... Yeah, well, that's another thing, like, with any social activism.
I'll get involved. I mean, like, I'm not a protester. I have never in my life put on a pair of sneakers and gone and joined a bunch of people holding placards. I never will. There's no cause that's going to get me to go and do something dumb like that. My way of joining a protest is to intellectualize it or to bring it onto our platform or, you know, make it count in some way that I can have some impact. And I'm not a protester, so I support other people's protests. You know, whether you support it, whether you're one of those people who was protesting the lockdown, whether you're one of those people who was anti-Jacob Zuma when he was the president. You're one of those people who's like upset about the price of fucking whatever it is. Then go ahead, you do your thing, and in this case, this is a worthy cause, sure. But you don't have to strong arm everybody else on. Numbers alone do not make a protest bigger or better. It is the validity of that cause, and in this case, I'm mortified by the fact that there are so many people who've never read a book in their lives. They've never paid attention to the news for more than 5 seconds, and usually only if it affects them directly. And those people are suddenly like front and center. They think they're standing with Martin Luther King, you know. They're some kind of big hero because they're online blacking out their Instagram.
It's such an ongoing phenomenon, and it's such an established phenomenon now, like, you know, internet activism, that I think, you know, it's too complicated an issue to have one viewpoint that sums it all up. Like, on the one hand, let people like things, you know, let people do what they want to do. People are their hearts, 90% right, so, of people's hearts are in a good place. But on the other hand, like, when you know, it's people who create a whole life and identity around themselves for nothing about shit that doesn't affect them. But I personally, it's conflicting for me because I participated because I thought I am behind this message. I do want to help Instagram look cool, and I got involved. But 9 times out of 10, if I see someone with like a Je suis Charlie thing still on their profile picture, I'm like, you know, you don't know anything about this topic that you're trying to be, you know, be one of the cool kids talking about this thing that you know nothing about.
Here's something interesting. This was reported yesterday from the CEO of Chris Hani Baragwanath Hospital.
Okay.
Monday was, of course, the day that liquor went on sale, right? In the 24 hours after liquor went on sale, listen to this, the patients in their trauma units doubled. The majority of patients were drunk with stab wounds. Some were involved in accidents. The emergency unit was busier than it has been throughout all of lockdown.
Not surprising to me in the least. Like, you know, it's a sideline social experiment. You know, the whole Corona jaw, the lockdown jaw, all the politics around it, blah, 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 so on. But like a weird side effect of this is these strange, like little social experiments. You could never test what would happen if you banned legal cigarettes for 2 months. You could never test, you know, installing prohibition and giving it a bash. But we kind of have now. And like, I also like never ever want to be preachy or contradictory, because when I jaw like I'm trying to break the world record. I go for 2 or 3 days, but I don't have the stamina or the lifestyle or the youth or the fucking can't be asked energy to do that often. So I can't, as a person who's made a part of, I wouldn't say a career, but a big part of my personal brand, especially in my 20s, around hard jawling, I can never ever lecture other people about partying. But I do know that like a lot of my friends, every single weekend, either one or both nights of the weekend, and probably once or twice a week, and some of them every day, drink every day. And if you can't cope with the taps being turned off temporarily, I would never advocate prohibition. I think that cigarettes and alcohol are both really bad things that shouldn't probably be legal. If we live in a world of banning things, if we live in a world where things get banned, I'm saying like alcohol is a fucking drug and it really like does affect you hectically. And I'm not trying to criticize drinkers of it. I myself drink it from time to time. I'm not trying to go on an anti-alcohol campaign, but I'm saying be realistic about your view on it. This is a serious fucking substance. Like it makes you a lot more fucked up than other drugs that I've tried. Has way more impairing. Like you cannot fucking drive no matter how well you think you drive. Some people legitimately believe they drive better if they're a bit pissed. You don't. Like, you are fucking properly compromised when you're drunk. And that shit also, it affects you for 3 to 9 days after you drink it. Like, not being a preachy non-drinker, because I still occasionally drink, but fuck it. If you haven't tried and enjoyed the benefits of a month or two off alcohol from time to time, maybe it's a sign that you should. So I'm not at all surprised at the increase in violence. I'm not at all surprised at, I think it's
the number of patients.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't double to me is conservative. If you had asked me to guess, you know, whether it doubled, tripled, or quadrupled, I would have said tripled or quadrupled.
It's just it's a horrible statistic, because those are obviously just really stupid and useless people who ordinarily, in the course of normal human affairs, will get themselves exterminated by their own stupidity. But
Darwin has had his hands tied here.
The thing I'm worried about, yeah, exactly. The thing I'm worried about is that like there are other people around them who don't necessarily deserve this.
Dude, it's a Monday night, right? It should, in theory, not that I'm one to say who should do what when, but I mean, according to societal norms, it in theory is the quietest drinking day of the.
I didn't even count it or look at it that way.
No, it is
a day after weeks of people going through with no alcohol.
Yeah. Imagine they did this on a Saturday, is what I'm saying. Imagine the hospital emergency room numbers if they did it on a Friday, a Thursday, a Friday, a Saturday, or a Sunday.
So this is interesting. Yesterday, there was a judgment handed down by the Gauteng Division of the High Court declaring Alert Level 4 and Alert Level 3 lockdown regulations unconstitutional and invalid. How do you like that?
Yeah, they also said some of these lockdown rules have been irrational. Judge Norman Davis yesterday who issued his assessment of the government's lockdown laws, saying they weren't well thought out and went against the Bill of Rights. So Davis, the Judge Davis, said the establishment of the lockdown itself under the Disaster Management Act was legal. He was very critical of the individual regulations, saying that they didn't pass the test for rationality. In fact, that's when he said they were unconstitutional. So when he touched on something like funerals, he said when a person, young or old, is in the grip of a terminal disease and is slowly leaving this life to ease that suffering and the passing, it is part of the nature of humanity for family and loved ones to offer support to the sufferer. Moreover, there are moral, religious, and ubuntu imperatives demanding this. So he went on to justify it in that case, the fact that, you know, we now had to slim down to less than 50 people. That's just an example of how he thinks this was irrational.
The whole thing is stupid. I've said so from the beginning. And now a judge has finally been able to deal with it rationally. And
yeah, to
And I hope this means that the president and that ridiculous cabinet of people that he works with, who are all in their own way like King Goodwill's Relatinis, where we're paying for them to sit there and talk shit to each other and make up dumb rules like you can't buy open-toed shoes or that you can't buy legal cigarettes for who knows what reason. I hope that they all sit there this week and they think very carefully about just getting rid of the whole lockdown, because the whole point of it is now over. There is no point anymore to a lockdown. And if there's someone dumb enough in South Africa still to believe that the lockdown has a purpose, then I want you to explain yourself, because the idea of going into this was to flatten the curve so that the medical facilities could get ready. Supposedly we've done that. Built these field hospitals. We're not saving any lives by keeping the lockdown going. It's dumb, and there is no logical, rational explanation for it. Not just some idiot who does a show every morning. Me thinks that. Now a judge of the High Court thinks the same thing. And there are plenty of other smart people who've known this from the get-go. Enough already. Can we stop
this? Yeah, I mean, dude, small social gatherings are an important part of people's, you know, I don't for a second believe that in, like, look, everyone started this with the best of intentions. Whether or not the whole thing was justified is regardless. Like, it was a global thing.
You were pretty scared in the beginning.
Yeah, and I still am, dude. I still think that this thing has a pretty good chance of killing me if I get it. And I still do believe that there's going to be a lot of cases, especially with winter coming on now, because I spoke to my good oak and highly qualified doctor about it, and he reckons it's going to be a shit show.
The same doctor who gives out.
Well, no, he doesn't give out sketchy sickness. The point that I was making is if I told him I wasn't feeling well, he'd believe me. But I wouldn't go to the oak that sells the fake scripts, basically. But the point is, I spoke to him about it. There are going to be a lot of cases. He just doesn't. He also agrees at once the contagiousness of it is going to make it a more of a fuck show in terms of so many people having it at once, probably in the middle of winter. But at the other, on the other hand, it's a far more often than not non-fatal sickness. So
well,
look, I don't
apparently,
care.
Apparently they're appealing the judgment already. There are opinion pieces from morons who are postulating judicial overreach. I mean, how do you check the executive? We work in a system where there's a balance of powers between the executive, the judiciary, and the legislature. The legislature is completely pointless in this exercise, even though they should be the ones making these rules, because we elect people to parliament to do exactly that. The executive in this country is massively powerful compared to the other two. So when a judge says, hang on, this may be a problem, and these things may be unconstitutional and invalid. And remember, a judge is an expert on how the law is applied, as opposed to all those people in cabinet. Maybe we should just take it seriously. I'm just saying.
Look,
another smart person is saying the same thing.
I just think we all went into it with the best of intentions, and to go back and post-mortem it again and analyze it again, we've all had this conversation millions of times. Why? Was it right? Wasn't it right? I think something had to be done. The whole world was panicking. People needed to take action before having solid, measurable information as to exactly what we're dealing with. I think it was a bit of a knee jerk, but I think I would rather be, in terms of which sides I'm on, I'd rather be on the side of the people erring on the side of caution than flippantly acting like ain't no thing when, so I'm just saying, I understand why things went in the direction they did. And I also understand that, like, while I'm saying it's enough now, the ship must end now, we are de-escalating by dropping a level every other week. So it's a complicated matter. It's not just, yay, this is great, or fuck it, I hate this. I'm well over it now. If we were buying them time, they've had time. If they made use of that time, great. They can't have any more. Like, we need to be on level 2 in a week and level 1 a week after that. And in a month, Oaks must leave me the fuck alone, because I've spent 2 months doing exactly what I was supposed to. And if you Oaks have not made use of that time, sorry, but I'd like to go back to my life now.
On the other side of the scale, the judge just listed 4 instances where he thinks those rules were rather rational, and those were education, prohibition against evictions, initiation practices, and the closure of nightclubs and fitness centers. That was deemed rather rationally connected to the stated objectives of the lockdown.
Yeah. Because I think the general objectives and the overall idea was a good one. It's just now it's being fucking dealt with badly. Surprise, surprise, South Africa.
So I've got Sean Binder here and Lyle Masters. I've known these guys for a long time. We used to do parties together, guys. Remember that shit?
That's not a statement.
We used to drink a lot of tequila, man.
Man, that Grahamstown incident, Gareth, sure, I remember that very well.
Which incident in Grahamstown?
Well, we were there launching one of our brands, and I think you were there the night before, and we couldn't find any gold tequila, but we settled for the silver petrol. Gotcha. But they were serving it fried tux, I think.
Ay, ay, ay.
You missed your pipe. We missed the flight.
Good times, dude. So yeah. What are you two doing? I mean, you're not involved in that scene anymore, are you?
Yeah, we've got so many properties. We've got a lot of brands that we're working on. I mean, this is our life. We've dedicated our lives to events and nightlife and entertainment. So we're still plugging away. Fortunately, this has been a bit of a hard time now.
Well, that's it. I mean, like events have really taken a massive knock. And Gord was just saying now how he'd like to get his life back and go back to doing fun things. But people can't go to the movies, for example, and nightclubs are not going to open up anytime soon. In fact, I don't know that people will even go to festivals for the rest of this year, because even if they suddenly said tomorrow it's open, what event organizer is going to take the risk that no one's going to pitch?
Yeah. And keep in mind, like, some people are social distancing voluntarily. Like Gareth touched on it just now, is that I was doing it for about a week or two. Not like, hey, I'm cool or anything. I just was isolating voluntarily for 2 weeks before.
Yeah, paranoid idiots. Paranoid idiots like Gord.
Yeah, except that after I sent the message saying, hey, I'm not coming into the studio because of the social distancing thing, you were all like, paranoid idiots, Gord, fine, Gord, whatever you want to do, dig. And then 3 days later, you sent a message to the whole team saying, I don't think anyone should come in. So you just came to my opinion 2 days after I did.
But I'll go swim in a lake of COVID, Gord. I'm not afraid.
If I die because of the fucking Roro, Gareth, and you make a little thing, like, we've lost Gordy.
We'll find someone else to do Wednesdays.
I want to dig out the bit where you said I'm a paranoid dickhead. You know how bad you'll feel if I'm Tony. Mate, right. I'm stone dead from fatness and corona.
All right.
And this
Gord.
Clip gets good. The point that I'm making is people, legislative social distancing and voluntary social distancing, even if they lift the rules now, jaws are going to be a bit empty. People are broke.
Shut up, Gord.
No.
Jesus. All right. Sean and Lyle, just tell me about what this Mother City drive-in is. Is this like the old school drive-in where you get in your car and they've got a movie up on a big screen and you've got the sound in your car through your like phone or your radio or whatever? Is that what it is? Is this thing coming? Is that coming back?
It's coming back, but I think we're doing it a little bit differently to how everyone thinks it was or knows it was. We, with technology, obviously, we can actually transmit the sound into the cars through a transmitter. And we also, it's not just movies. We're also doing live shows for comedians or live musicians to get them back to work as well. It's not just to make a quick buck for us. We want to get the industry going again. And I think this is the safest way to do it right now. We were looking at our best winter sales-wise for all our events coming up, and that's obviously been halted. The drive-in, we have been talking about it before lockdown, before Corona came. We were always, there was always a need for it. And since we launched, the public have just gone crazy for it. And, I think it's really needed to bring back now.
So isn't
it's a draw. I was always a big fan of it before it even went away.
Did you like drive-ins? You actually liked them?
Yeah, I did as a kid when I was little. I did going to the drive-in, and I had a couple of like fun memories from like childhood all the way through to like varsity days, maybe a year or two after that, where me and like my stoner friends would go and set up like a little picnic. And it's not the best way to watch a movie, but there's a social aspect to it. That you don't get elsewhere.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to be critical for a second, because unless you're going there with a girl that you're dating, you're seeing, you're getting kind of interested in, I don't see the point of being in a car and all the other people are in their cars. I know that you guys, this is really smart, because you're combining entertainment with social distancing and kind of making the best of a shitty situation. But that's not social, because what, I'm going to wind down my window and talk to whoever parks next to me?
Well, how many groups of people do you normally go to the movies with? Like, it's you and two or three mates, right? You don't talk to the people in the rows around you. Like, the difference between a two or three mates at a drive-in and the difference with the same two or three mates at a movie is a piece of glass between you and the screen.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you're not in a movie to chat to your pals.
Yeah. And I think, we also are against this whole lockdown thing and the social distancing and all that. But you know, we've got to play the cards that are dealt.
Of course, that's what you got.
Unfortunately, we have to do it, as ridiculous as it is. But we, you know, I think what's nice is that we have been to drive-ins. We are old enough to have experienced them ourselves. So we can take that basic old concept, make it modern, and actually add cooler elements to it. So, you know, for what there is available, this is the best solution for right now.
All right. How many cars can you get into your drive-in that you guys are currently working with?
We're looking at various different locations. So it's not just one location. We will be mobile with this. We want to take it to all parts of Cape Town. And I think, having seen the public response, there's definitely a need for it to be all over. You know, people don't want to drive too far, especially at night. So, we're looking at various locations with different sizing. So,
how many drive-ins in South Africa are still even like maintained and functional?
Can't be. I don't think there's any.
The last one, I think, closed a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think it was the old Top Star one was the last one in Randburg there.
Yeah,
wow. I remember watching Gremlins there the many years
ago. I watched Jurassic Park at that, Joel. Yeah.
Oh, really?
The original one in 95. Yeah. And I remember when the footsteps come down, and what they had just done then was this major innovation that you could still hang the little robot oak in the window that sounded like ass and never worked, and the volume thing didn't work. Or now you could tune into their radio frequency, which you had to tune it because it's 1995. You had to and then tune into the fucking thing and try to decide what's worse, the broken speaker that has a direct feed or the working radio that has to be tuned with a little oak that moves left and right. So I would imagine now with Bluetooth and all the rest. One thing I remember when they brought in the radio transmission, there was a frequency and they told you at the beginning of the movie that go here, tune into this frequency. A lot of people would play the tunes with their doors and shit open, and actually it would cause the sound to fill the parking lot. You didn't necessarily need your own sound if it was busy and there were other people. So I imagine with Bluetooth now it's going to sound tit.
You're going to get a couple of those guys with the sound systems in their boots, I'm sure. All of these things are challenges that we'll figure out as they happen, you know, but I think people are going to be behaved to quite a large degree.
Dude, I'm so impressed. I know you two have always been innovative in this space, and well done to you, but I think this is such a great idea. If you could bring drive-ins back, I mean, wasn't there also in the drive-in, I remember you could go and buy shit at the shop first, and there were snacks, and then you'd have a little picnic essentially in your car, right?
Dude, it was the best. The little hot dogs, the little tuck shop hot dogs. That was the whole jewel. Go buy a massive pile of snacks and be fat and happy.
Obviously we'll have that on offer, except that you just can't leave your car. So we'll have, waiters and waitresses actually serving you to your car.
Like old roadhouse style.
Are you not allowed to actually, because you guys are setting this up, it sounds like, under the presumption of continued lockdown legislation. Are you guys going to enforce those rules so that, when the law all goes back to normal in a month or 2 months or 3 months, you guys will still presumably be doing this project. Then are you going to have a situation where Oz can go into the tuck shop and...
Yeah, absolutely. I think we will remain within line with the government. Right now, it's quite hard to engage with them. No one really wants to stick their neck out and make any firm decisions. We've been writing safety protocols that up to this point haven't existed, and we feel that they're very safe, and now it's about trying to communicate that. Remember, what we're trying to do for the entertainment industry as a whole is also set the guidelines so other people that want to innovate and do this and create their own opportunities can do that. So that's what's important to us right now, is actually trying to work with all the relevant stakeholders and create and prove and trial that this is a safe way, even though it's, I say safe with, safer. I say safe lightly because, some people believe in this and some people
safer than going to H2O and clapping a, clapping a molly and trying to see how many faces you can suck before the sun goes down.
So you guys are
going to check us right now, let me tell you.
You say you've had a huge response from people, but I like the fact that you've got theme nights and, really interesting different takes and things. You're going to do a lot of locally produced films as well. So it's more an experience than it is going to be just going to see a movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's big scope, for, say, a quiz night. The quiz nights were huge at the pubs. And, Cape Town.
Especially Joburg,
Joburg too. Yeah, so there's a lot of different things we can experiment with this. drive-in concept. It's not just the movies, as I said.
Can you imagine a Fast and Furious, Mike? Sorry.
Yeah, but that would be the tittest jaw in the whole of Joburg.
Everybody's in their cars.
You have to keep the open middle of the parking area for your handbrake turns, but
and they can rev,
faster and furiouser. So. Faster and furiouser. We have lost count.
Yeah.
So ran faster and furiouser, run out of fingers edition, part five.
All these interviews I've been wanting to do, what do I do with my hands? I'm glad you did it.
So Tubby Saw says, isn't there a drive-in at the top of Menlyn Mall in Pretoria? Yeah, there is. I think it's still there.
There was one. I remember it quite well. And actually, one of the things that they used to do, which we're very interested in incorporating, is that you could actually, kind of like glamping at a festival, you could hire a classic car or a cool car. That's something that we're going to be approaching car companies with. You know, for example, you got families. We can have a glamping family vehicle set up for you, so you can experience it without owning it. You know,
I would love to mess popcorn all over a Lambo. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure that can squeeze me into the seat. But you mean so also you, when you say themed events, you mean like, for example, it's a terrible example, but you would maybe do like a Rocky Horror Picture Show thing where it's not necessarily even that terrible of an example. I think a lot of people would be into it. It's just my idea of hell.
I think
being hot at the Rocky Horror Picture Show is similar to being hot at a Toni Braxton concert is my idea of eternal torment. But for argument's sake, like you could show the old, there's a lot more scope with drive-ins and stuff for showing older movies. Like you can have little festivals, you know, you could do like a night where you show the old school three Jaws movies.
Yeah. You know, what's very cool is because we are moving from location, I also must put it out there that we're not doing these, you know, these old school pop-up inflatable screens with a projector. We're going full into the technology. We've got big LED screens that can sit outside in all weather. You can see movies at all times of the day. So that's also something that we must
keep. So they're visible in daytime.
Yeah, we've got all the right equipment to make very cool things.
Like there's more to it than people think. Like the quality of experience you have in the cinema, obviously the size of the screen varies. This is in traditional cinemas. I don't know much about drive-ins, but I was very involved with movies for a long time. I love that shit. That's why I'm super excited to go back to the drive-in. But like it's the screen, the type of screen, the size of screen. Then it's the type of projector, the amount of colors, there's two different types of 3D projector. So like it's not just how big is the screen. There's like the projector, the screen, all of that. So I would imagine that like if you guys get you for outdoor on a really big screen in varying light conditions, you're going to need a motherfucker of a projector.
Well,
you're going to need the Daddy Mac.
We've actually got 240 square meters of LED single batch panels, which is very cool. So we can build something massive or we can build multiple. There's also nothing stopping us from doing two screens on one space. And some people on this side watching that, some people on that side watching that, you know. And what I wanted to get to quickly, you know, talking about the theme nights is also location-based. I mean, you know, for example, if we did a film, we have a food truck market in Cape Town at a military base, we could show old military movies. If we were at a certain location, we could show movies that work in that style. We can also put food, if we do like the Italian job, we can have Italian food trucks. You know, we can really make fun of this.
Guys, I love this. That you have been pipped to the post, though, by someone else. They opened up a drive-through strip club.
Yeah.
You heard about this?
I can't see that being operational yet.
Oh, I can see the cars rocking.
I mean,
I just don't know how they can serve alcohol to someone who's alone in the car and then drive.
Yeah. It's socially responsible alcohol rules. It's fine that you're hammered and you're driving home motor. As long as you're not shaking hands with any strangers.
Yeah, you feel like a pluck in the car, but personally, Pornhub for me is a little bit more entertaining.
Yeah, listen, I've been to PE and I've seen the quality of their strippers, and it makes no difference whether you're in your car or you're on foot or you're in an old school strip club sitting on a chair.
You're actually safer in your car in case a tentacle comes out. Close the window, you might survive.
No strippers.
You know, if their concept goes ahead, well, then we are 100% behind that. I think that would be great because then it opens up ours. You know what I mean?
Which how badly in need of a crap wank do you have to be? Go to the drive-through PE.
Drive-through masturbation.
Like, if you can afford, I don't even know. I'm going to just randomly throw out there. Well, how much would a drive-through strip experience cost? At least a couple of $100. Let's be.
The lunch starts at 250 rand.
Okay, I was going to say less. I was going to say let's call it $150. $250. Like you can with $250, no matter how broke you are. If you broke, but for having $250, if you have any smart device, that's enough data to go on Pornhub and beat one out, especially twice, even if you're quick about it. Like, who wants to go look at an ugly chick get naked at 3 meters away, not be able to touch yourself or her, and then drive home and go have?
You may say that, Gord, but the place has been packed every day since opening. As Sia says, a cheap 250 runts. People are so starved for entertainment right now, they'll do anything.
You can't even knock one out in your car, I presume. I mean, maybe you can. That's the appeal. Well, you're in your own car. And everything's below window height. So you just look like a person whose shoulder is shaking a lot.
They're going to be selling a lot of window tinting.
Sia loves me.
What a horrible. Yeah,
you just look like a person having a shoulder fit.
No. Unbelievable. All right, so Lyle and Sean, you guys are doing this stuff. It's going to happen starting off in Cape Town, and you might roll it out. If it works there, you might roll it out to the rest of the country, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
We've got many requests to move it all around. I mean, from Durban, Joburg, East London, we're getting requests.
Don't go to East London.
Yeah. Why? You can find a doctor there who'll give everyone a sick note if they come to your drive-in and get drunk.
No, you can literally actually set up sick notes on the way out. So you can put a jaw on. Oh. Then it's like you do the movies on a Monday or a Tuesday. You have a selling sick notes on the way out, right, where you get to take your take-home drive-through booze for your car.
Yeah, some business meetings, mobile business meetings.
Oh, that's another good idea.
Seriously, though, how do you guys think that the whole entertainment scene is going to change after this? I mean, you've been around a while. You know your stuff. So let's say they say it's legal for clubs and bars and pubs to open again soon. Let's say even before maybe the end of winter, right? And let's say people get back in there. They're going to start dribbling back in small numbers, right? It's not going to be suddenly everyone's back and everything's exactly the way that it was. How do you think it's going to change?
I mean, I think, you know, it's quite sad to, I'm hoping that it's going to go back to normal. You know, just walking down the street or going in the shops, you can kind of feel people are trying to avoid you, which is, I mean, it's quite
amazing. I've had that always, so I've still don't
know. I never know who's coming up to rob me.
So I think at first, people will be wary about it, about going into, you know, clubs with, you know, packed clubs, much social distancing going on.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, we're going to roll out, you know, 50 packs at a nightclub. You know, I think that's how it's going to roll out. You know?
I don't
know. 150.
Nightclubs can't, restaurants, nightclubs, they can't make money on 50 people. You know, that doesn't cover the rent. You know, something, it's impossible. So, I mean, look, something has to happen. The entertainment industry, you know, employs over 700,000 people in this country, one way or another.
Yeah. I mean, just my friends alone, like the amount of people in, you know, guys that are chefs and or cooks, people that are bar people, waiters, all of the music, guys involved, DJs, backline providers, like everybody's fucked. And it's industries upon industries. Like the entire entertainment industry and hospitality industry is going to be the last thing to reopen. And so many of those, yeah, it's a total shit show.
Yeah, and you know, for us, it is a necessary service. I mean, you know, streaming's great and, you know, these social distancing kind of gatherings are great, but you know, we humans and by nature we need to interact. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I got this message from Davo, who's clearly a regular at the Candies drive through strip club. He says they have a coffee shop next door, so guys are going for coffee and getting a free look.
If you go to the coffee place, there's an angle from which you can get a free expensive erection.
Drones like hovering around.
Gord, here's a comment for you. This is interesting. This is from Jared. Jared says, we had an issue with Sia, who doesn't like strippers, but now, who does Gord think he is? Pussy shaming those poor, hardworking single mothers in PE. Yes, Gord.
I didn't pussy shame them. Yes, I think it's a bad financial investment. I love strippers. I mean, I'm all for anybody wanting to show their junk, whether they're male or female. No, no, no. I'm not against strippers at all. I like most sleazy things, and I like most sketchy situations. I am usually – I'm not one to judge. I'm a dodgy fucker in every sense.
I'm a big fan of karaoke as well.
I do like to clap a karaoke. Yeah, I'm trying to remember which Joel I know you guys from. Because if you don't remember which, you know people from the Joel, but you can't remember us. Yeah, but if you can't remember which Joel, then you feel nervous to say some shit because you guys might know. You guys might know, like, oh, I've rolled with these guys, but I'm not sure where. That puts me at a huge disadvantage. No, I'm all for strippers. I'm all for things like, you know, what did he call?
Pussy shaming.
Gareth, what did the reader, the listener? Yeah, I'm not pussy shaming anyone. I'm all for pussy and I'm against shaming. I just think entertainment to Rand, you're paying for a very expensive erection. You can get an equal quality erection for free, a higher quality erection for free on Pornhub. And you could, in certain sectors of the economy, put that money towards actual sex. Or you could just go have a free one at home. I just don't think paying to see where you land between no effect, this was a total waste of money, I got nothing, and oh wow, I'm so aroused, let me go home and do something about it. I don't need to give someone 250 rand to make
me. Being in that situation, I mean, I wonder if you start having a weird relationship with your car after that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly.
We did that.
You're going to need to keep that loving feeling going long enough. It's going to have to affect you long enough afterwards that you can get home or find a bug, or you can have to chuck one in the parking.
Wow.
And in your own car.
I know you guys mentioned OnlyFans.
I would rent a car just so that I could go and rent a car, go to the drive-through strip club, clap one, and then take the car back. That'll be my little fetish where I get off on.
Sean, you were going to say something?
I know you guys mentioned OnlyFans. I mean, that surely is the next step in where strippers are going to make their money.
I know lots of people who shouldn't be on Instagram and should be on OnlyFans.
I think the Instagram is
advertising.
It's advertising.
Yeah,
OnlyFans.
Yeah. That's a good point. All right, listen, guys, it's been fun. I'm gonna close off with something from one of my favorite movies, which you've got to show, From Dusk Till Dawn. Remember that movie? It's also got strippers in it, except they turn out to be vampires.
Salma Hayek in that movie is just God class.
Unbelievable.
No, it does not get better.
All right, so Sean Binder and Lyle Masters, nice to see you both again. We'll talk to you in good time. And good luck with the drive-ins, guys. I think it's a great idea.
Great. Thanks for having us on the show.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm legit excited. Like, I'm in. I want this. Even outside of the parameters of COVID, I want this. Like, I love this shit. So I'm very excited, guys.
Great. Thank you. Great.
Thanks, guys.
All right, everybody. Have a happy day. We will see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock, bright and early.
CliffCentral.com.